Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for All Saints Day comes from our first reading from Revelation, but I will also mention the other readings as well. These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. In the name of Jesus. All Saints Day is that rare occasion when a pastor doesn't have to preach all that much on the law. Well, let me clarify that. The pastor doesn't have to work all that hard at presenting the law that will crush his parishioners like the law is supposed to do. Now, oftentimes, that is a difficult and monumentous task for the preacher. He must present the law taken from the assigned readings of the day in such a way that every single individual in the pew has to say, that law was meant for me. Now, I'll be honest, I know that I have failed on many occasions, more than I would like to admit, when it comes to presenting the law in this way. The most memorable for me was on my vicarage, when a lady shook my hand at the end of the service and said, "That was a nice sermon, Vicar. The thing is, I've never had a problem with forgiving my neighbors when they sin against me. But I know the rest of them do, so I'm glad you preached it like you did." Now, maybe she was right. Or maybe I just preached a bad sermon. Lord knows that's happened before. My point in all of this is that the law needs to be preached in such a way that it crushes us, so that the gospel can actually revive us once again. If the pastor fails to do that, then he hasn't done his job. But All Saints Day does seem to be a little bit different, in that the law is palpable, and it kind of just hits us in the face without much work. And it's like a funeral in that way. You don't have to work at hammering the law. The casket lying there, right there in the middle of the sanctuary, does all the hammering for you. And it's hard, isn't it, to ignore the law when there's a lifeless body right in front of us. And it's hard to ignore the law when you wake up to a cold pillow next to you. And it's hard to ignore the law when we can no longer pick up the phone and hear the voice of our best friend on the other end anymore. And it's hard to ignore the law when the kicking in our belly suddenly stops one day in the sixth month of a pregnancy that's supposed to last 9. Death does have a way of hammering home the ugly truth about the law, almost heavier and harder than anything else that I can imagine. The wages of sin is death, after all. There isn't much heavier than that. But of course, that doesn't mean that we don't like to try and deflect these blows in every way that we know how. And the most common way that we do this at funerals is by turning the whole thing into a celebration of life, which might be helpful, I suppose, because there is nothing wrong with remembering the good old days, with recounting stories of the fun times and the celebratory times, and goodness, maybe even some of the bad times too. But recounting stories of days gone by can only go so far to comfort those of us who still find ourselves in this veil of tears, suffering with all of these broken bodies of ours and our burdened consciences and all of those lonesome evenings. Because we still do have to live a life that now seems a little more empty than it did in the past. The truth of the matter is, the past can't comfort us in the present without the promise of a better future. And it's hard to imagine a better future when we have to deal with death. So here we sit on All Saints Day. I will have to admit, I said at the beginning of the service, or right before, that apart from Holy Week, maybe Christmas too, there isn't a divine service that I enjoy more than today. All Saints Day is a day in which the church sets aside to specifically remember her dead. The hymns are beautiful. The readings are poignant. Traditionally, the names of those who have been taken from us over the past year are read at some point within the prayers. I believe that we'll get to hear seven such names today. Vicar Solomon, he will pray a petition in which we will give thanks to our God above for the earthly lives of our loved ones who have departed in the faith. And privately, of course, we can do this on our own, in our own prayers, maybe as we lie in bed sleeplessly in the middle of the night. But really, we can do this at any time of the day or any time of the year. I'm sure that many of you actually do. But today is the day in which the church militant remembers together the church triumphant and gives thanks to our God for these dearly departed saints. And many of us will remember our dearly departed saints in such this saintly way. Perhaps your mother was the kindest mother that there has ever been. And perhaps your wife was the best wife that you could have ever asked for. And maybe your child was the sweetest little bundle of joy that you ever had the privilege of holding in your arms. But maybe this wasn't the case. Maybe your father was a drunk, and your husband ran around town, and your child grew up to be a little hellraiser. What do we say about them? And this is the crux of the matter. If we're trying to find comfort in the face of death through the works of our dearly departed, then we're never going to find comfort, not true comfort. Because even if our loved ones rivaled the likes of Mother Teresa, they still found themselves in the ground, didn't they? And like we said earlier, the wages of sin is death, and if that's the truth, then it appears as if the sinner got his due. And I don't mean to besmirch the memory of your loved ones, not in the least, but to be comforted on a day like today, we're going to have to find comfort in a place other than ourselves. Sainthood has to come from the outside, not the inside. For the longest time, I always found it odd that the gospel reading that we hear on All Saints' Day comes from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we call this section of Scripture the Beatitudes. It's because of all those blessed statements that we hear, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, who is Jesus talking about? Is he talking about us? Is he talking about all those who have died before us? And if so, in what way were they, are we peacemakers and merciful? And all the other things, too. Because, again, if we first hear this sermon of our Lord's as attributes describing us, then I'm afraid that we're not going to find a whole lot of comfort in it. Because I don't know about you, but I haven't always been the peacemaker or merciful. And I'm not all that pure in heart. Goodness, if you could only see inside. So I haven't reached that bar that's been set in front of me by our Lord. And if we're honest, no one else born of woman has either. Well, no one but Jesus. And so it is Jesus who is the Blessed One. Yes, first and foremost, here in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is preaching about himself. And as he is preaching about himself, he wants us to see him on the cross. Jesus is the fulfiller of all of these things. Jesus is the one who grabs the scroll of the law and then checks off all of the boxes. Jesus is the one who does all of these things in the place of the sinner, for the good of the sinner, for the sake of the sinner, so that he, yes, him, he's the one, can indeed make the sinner the saint that the sinner could never hope to be in and of himself. And so when you hear the Beatitudes, when you read them, or you hear them spoken into your ears, hear them fulfilled by Jesus for your good, for the good of those saints who have gone before us. It is Jesus, he's made them, who makes you to be saints. For to be a saint is to be holy, and to be the holy ones are those who have been made holy by him. That's the comfort for us on this All Saints Day. Jesus has made sinners to be saints through his perfect obedience of the law, his atoning death on the cross. It's that blessed exchange that we always talk about, where Jesus takes the wages of your sin and he gives to you the wages of his holiness. So this, read those again. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's Jesus. for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's you. Blessed are those who mourn. That's Jesus. For they shall be comforted. That is you. Blessed are the meek. That is Jesus. For they shall inherit the earth. That's you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's Jesus. For they shall be satisfied. That is you. Blessed are the merciful. That's Jesus. For they shall receive mercy. That's you. Blessed are the pure in heart. That is Jesus. For they shall see God. That is you. Blessed are the peacemakers. That is Jesus. For they shall be called sons of God. That is you. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That is Jesus. For theirs is the kingdom of God. That is you. Do you get it? Do you understand? The Beatitudes are about Jesus, and only then are they about you, because of him. That's why John tells us in our epistle reading for today that we are children of God now, right now, because through Christ he has made us to be so. And so our hope in the now but not yet, which we're living in, our hope in the midst of this broken down world with sin and death still raging all around us, is that we have now, even if we don't fully experience it, what God has promised to us. We are holy. We are saints. And in the resurrection to come, we will finally see what it is we're waiting for. We will be just like he is, because he has made us to be one with him. Perfect body raised from the dead, free from pain and suffering, free from loss and loneliness, free from disease and all destruction. We shall live with him in the new heavens and the new earth, risen from the dead, both body and soul. That is the promise that John gives to us in his epistle. And then he also gives to us a picture, a promise of the blessed ones, the ones that he saw, the holy ones, of the saintly ones, the triumphant ones. These are the ones whose number is so great we can't even count it. These are the ones who surround the throne of God right now and praise him continually, day and night, singing the great song of heaven that is written out for us in the book of Revelation, which we just sang ourselves this morning a little while ago when we sang, "This is the feast." And doesn't that just give you shivers down your spine? We just sang the song of heaven along with all the saints who have gone before us. And who are these saints? They are the ones in the perfectly bloody white robes, the ones who have been made clean by the Lamb and his sacrifice, who have been sanctified, who have been holified, made perfect saints by the work of Christ and Christ alone. And here's the real comfort for the church militant on this All Saints Day. Not that there is just a church triumphant, not that we will just one day be numbered in that church triumphant, which of course we most certainly will, but that those who have fallen asleep in the Lord before us are up there right now singing the very songs that we are singing as well down here. We and our sinfully fallen world's junk man choir, they and their perfectly gilded one, all tears wiped away from their eyes, even as a few trickle down our cheeks as we remember them. All pain gone from their lives, even as aches still ache us and disease still threatens to kill us. All suffering gone from the rest of their lives for all of eternity, even as we still suffer while missing them. We're one church, not two, and we're made one in Christ. The comfort of it all is that in the face of death, the death of our loved ones, even our own death, we have the promise of eternal life with our God and Lord. And the victory that won all of that with the words spoken on the cross, "It is finished." And its vindication was found in that empty tomb. And it's sealed when that Lamb was seated on the throne in heaven of God. So as we walk out these doors this morning, after singing with the saints, terrestrial and celestial, after communing with Christ and his church, militant and triumphant, let us give thanks to the Lord above, who makes all things good and brings life out of death, that we might be comforted and the eternal hope that because Christ lives, so too does and will his church. In the name of Jesus.